The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is going to be hard for you to believe. Whatever you think you remember, it's not real. This person you think you are now, it's all a lie.
If I'm not me, then who the hell am I?
A little bit of the trailer from the latest incarnation of the movie Total Recall. I remember seeing the first one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, his Mars movie, and I thought, wow. And then in reflection, it really was kind of The Matrix before The Matrix, one of those that bends your view of reality and who you really are. Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us to begin a movie review, the movie Total Recall. Pastor Fisk is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Jonathan, it's another remake, and this is one that you could really mess up, because the first one, at least in my estimation, was very good. It was kind of, I remember thinking, finally someone made a decent science fiction movie after Star Wars when I saw it the first time.
Yeah, it really did set a precedent for its time. My guess is, if you've never seen it and you go back and watch it now, film has changed so much, you'd feel it was pretty slow and probably a little boring, kind of like watching the original Terminator with Arnold as well. It was a great movie in its time, broke a few boundaries and yet hasn't really withstood the test of age. And so remaking it certainly is a risky thing to do when you go back and remake a good movie. And yet then again, there's a lot that the former movie was hampered by. You got a great plot, just ready to be developed. All it takes is some good direction, a good acting. You got a chance to pull something special off.
So what's the story without spoiling too much? And there's a lot of spoiler landmines in a movie like this, but what's the premise of the story?
Yeah, one of my biggest complaints about the entire thing is that they spoil a whole lot of the story in the previews. The second preview that was released in the theaters just gave away, everything. But to try not to give away quite that much, it is a man who believes he is a factory worker who goes to have sort of a mental vacation, a special vacation in which through the wonders of technology, he's going to have memories implanted in him as if he had gone on this amazing reality doing something that he would never do, and he gets to choose. He ends up choosing being a double agent spy. But as soon as they begin to start putting him under for this to happen, all hell breaks loose, literally. They have a bursting in of the official government, which is a little bit of a tyranny, and attempt to kill him as a spy. And so the whole time you're asking, well, is he in his dream that he just paid for, or is this something real that's actually happening? Is he actually a double agent who's had his brain washed and been hidden underneath this guise of a factory worker in order to do something? It's a wonderful plot device. In fact, it's as good as any as I can think of. So much to play with in terms of questions of reality, like you said, in the way The Matrix plays with it, or in the way that the movie Inception did a few years back. And a chance to also ask real questions about the powers of political propaganda, the power of brainwashing and/or mental distortions through media, all sorts of stuff. It doesn't quite go that way in terms of, it doesn't play with those ideas as much as it could, maybe. It kind of settles for being an action flick. But nonetheless, there's this just dramatic chance to ask questions about reality.
Why are we attracted? We got about a minute here. Why are we so attracted to this scenario in which what we think is real isn't real and questioning reality? Why, especially in this day and age? Why, Jonathan?
There's got two questions there, and they're both great questions. In general, I mean, I would just say that humanity has a problem with fantasy in that what we face day to day is not very satisfying, and this really comes down to not a problem with our world so much as a problem with our sin, our discontentedness, our desire to make things perfect or to worship gods that are not gods, which has wrought all sorts of trouble on our world. And now, in the midst of that trouble, the last thing we can do, we don't have the power to do, repent of this and seek God. Rather, instead, we seek for ways to make the world perfect. And since we can't actually pull it off, what better way to do it than to tell stories about those who achieve doing it? This is where almost all mythology really kind of comes out of, all false religion comes out of. Second question, though, you know, in our day and age, we've hyperized this a little bit with our official philosophical thinking, we'll come back to the other side, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get to the philosophy behind it. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Total Recall on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 8th. Stay tuned.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Planned Parenthood's Party.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Campbell Brown, a former news anchor at NBC and CNN, recently published a notable editorial in the New York Times. Brown, who is pro-abortion, entitled her op-ed, Planned Parenthood's Self-Destructive Behavior, and argued that Planned Parenthood's growing unpopularity is due to two factors. First, its championing of unfettered abortion to the neglect of women's health in general. Secondly, Planned Parenthood has become, as Brown put it, an arm of the Democratic Party. While pro-life groups tend to be nonpartisan, Planned Parenthood, she says, is militant in its support of the Democratic Party.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reviewing the movie Total Recall with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and host of the video blog called Worldview Everlasting. You can check out Worldview Everlasting under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. All right, I had to cut you off at the break. You were starting to talk about the philosophical basis for our fascination with the twisting and turning of reality in the films we watch.
Yeah, so humanity already has a desire to escape the reality that we have in this world, whether it's through changing the world or what have you. But then in our age, the development of philosophy, which is like the tool for thinking, the thing to use to help your thoughts make sense, it has developed to such a point where one of the major questions that we have officially is reality real or is it all inside of my head? You know, we call this postmodernism, kind of loosely. It comes out of something called romanticism. But the whole concept is that what I see, what I observe, what I feel is all subjective. I can say that it's real to me, but I can't necessarily say that's what you're experiencing as well. And so the kind of idea is, well, then none of it is really real. It's all what we make of it. This leads to all manner of different kinds of disasters in thinking, such as, well, I'm actually in control of it all. I'm God. So through the power of positive thinking, I can manipulate it. Or simply that there is no God, that there is no nothing, that this is all just a dream itself. And so in our age, these questions are doubly potent because we have a system of thinking, a way of making our minds work that lends itself to wanting to believe things are not real. And then this delves right into our sinful rebellion against the real, against the good that God created. And so a story like this, I don't think that makes the story evil in itself, but it certainly allows or plays on something that's already there in our cultural mindset.
Well, talk about, in the light of a movie like this that plays with reality, and it does to you know, great entertaining effect, there's nothing wrong with that. Talk about the fact that the Christian worldview is not about sugarcoating, denying, or trying to escape reality.
Yeah, seriously. The essence of Christianity in one sense, I mean, in the true sense is Jesus is the essence, right? But in one sense, the essence of Christianity, as Luther said, is to call a thing what it is, to be returned to a total honesty, which involves an honesty about our predicament as humans, which involves the first confession, not that we're saved, but that we're sinners needing to be saved, that we have missed the mark, that we have broken the world, and that nothing that we can do is really able to change this. We're all dying, and if we look around, it'd be pretty obvious, we can admit it. We're all dying. There's a problem here. Decay and disaster are all around us, and I've got hate welling up out of my heart towards everything and anyone that gets in the way of my self-centered dreams and goals. To call that what it is, to say, yes, I am sinful, is at the essence of Christianity. And then this leads us to the Word of God, when it preaches this to us, leads us also to receiving the answer to it all, which is that Christ, dead on the cross, a man who is God, also risen from the dead, is the antidote to this problem. The last thing anybody would ever look to be the antidote to this problem. We don't want a hero who dies. One of the great things about Total Recall is he doesn't die. He actually ends up winning the day. He overthrows the bad government. He gets the girl, all these great things. That's what we want. That's the way we want the world to be fixed, not through a dead man on a cross. And yet that's, again, calling a thing what it is, which God does for us first in Christ, and then leads to this renewed or regenerated worldview, an everlasting worldview, God's worldview, which sees us as sinners but doesn't plan to leave us there, but in Christ is going to make us saints.
Now, we're entertained by this, and it does fascinate us. It does tap into something, as you have said, that's not necessarily healthy and may even be contrary to the Christian worldview. Is that a reason to avoid movies? And you've mentioned a few, The Matrix, that has, you know, these things probably in their worldview have more of an affinity with Buddhism than anything else. These kind of movies that toy with reality. Is that a reason for Christians to avoid them?
No, I don't think so. I think it actually helps us refine what we really believe, and it really exposes the joke of human insufficiency that believes it's self-sufficiency by showing how fragile we are and how incapable we are actually of really knowing it. This kind of, both this movie and Inception, at the end, ultimately refuse to give you an answer. The question, is it real, is it real, is it real, is playing the whole movie long, and they decide not to answer it. Well, I think this is a great weakness of the postmodern worldview, and ends up falling on its face. So No, I think Christians need to engage this kind of stuff. I mean, it's entertaining on the one hand, but it also is provocative because by knowing our enemy, we are able to give a good confession against our enemy, against the worldviews which destroy, and confess the worldview that builds up, God's worldview, His Word. And we know how to do this all the more efficiently when we're speaking at something as opposed to just into a vacuum. We can only do that when we've learned what is being spoken around us.
Are there any pastoral concerns you have about the movie in terms of appropriateness for certain ages or who ought to be seeing this and who ought not to be seeing this, Total Recall?
Sure. This is definitely a movie for teens and above, I'd say. It's quite a bit of violence. No real nudity, not much cursing. I can't remember if there's any cursing in it. You know, it's a teen movie. It's an action flick. Really, you might take your date on this, but she might not like it. I'd say get a couple of guys together and go see it. It was, of all the movies I've seen this summer, I mean, obviously Batman and The Avengers were fantastic films. I put this up there as a number three. The reviews it's gotten have not been good. I'm not sure why. I really just enjoyed it as a guy flick. But definitely not for your younger kids, at least not for my younger kids, I would say. The violence, it moves really fast. The imagery is very heavy-duty, fast motion. And so something for a mind that's able to grasp that and think things through.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, thank you again for your movie review.
Hey, it's been fun.
Folks, if you appreciate our movie reviews with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Now, as a way of saying thanks to first-time donors, we're going to send you the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. It's brand new. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the challenging summer months.